So now we've got to, like, rise to the occasion.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Rise to the occasion.
I think you just did, V&A.
There you go. Fantastic.
Oh, no.
Tep and Step, your premium Texas high school football podcast from your friends at Dave Campbell's Texas Football and TexasFootball.com. I'm Greg Tepper. Oh, I'm the Tep Greg Tepper.
Oh, you messed that. That's the first time you ever messed that up. I'm the Step, Matt Step.
Thank you for dealing with me.
You're just excited because Thanksgiving's 10 days away.
That's exactly. That's I'm excited for a lot of reasons.
And his birthday's coming.
Not mine.
Yeah, Tepper's birthday's not coming.
No, Steph's birthday's coming.
Well, I know. I can sense it in the air.
Yeah.
Thank you for being a Dave Campbell's Texas Football subscriber, or not, and being
thank
like
you,
a free
question
lover.
Mark?
Thank you?
Yeah, question mark?
Why would we thank you? I will say this. Thanksgiving is coming. If you want to give your friend or loved one the gift of football, TexasFootball.com/subscribe, you can get this podcast.
Hi, Brooke.
Hi, Brooke. Hi, Brooke. She said hi.
No, she did. She said hi.
Those other dulcet tones you hear, TexasFootball.com/subscribe to finish that sales pitch. Those other dulcet tones you hear belong to our producer extraordinaire, V&A Moreno.
Oh, I need to put it on me.
Hi, V.
Hey, guys.
Hello.
I told V that she looked very nice today, and she looked she's like, what's your... And she looked at me, and she goes, you, I like your pants. That's what she said to me. So...
You know, I also told V she looked nice today. She is like racking up the compliments today.
I know, exactly right.
I curled my hair, guys.
Okay, maybe that's
breaking news.
Curled my hair.
This is your area round preview edition of Tep and Step. We do thank you for being a Dave Campbell's Texas Football subscriber. Coming up here in just a moment, we will survey the wreckage of a wild bi-district round of the Texas High School Football Playoffs.
It was wild.
And then we will have our area round game draft. The first playoff game draft of 2024, the year of our Lord, 2024. But first, Matthew, we will start, as we always do, with your Texas High School Football Fun Fact of the Week, presented by Community Coffee.
Nice cup of Jew.
Let me see if I can find that read. Oh, it's right... around
Community Coffee.
Here.
It's got caffeine in it.
It does. Community Coffee supports and celebrates the thriving communities at the heart of Texas high school football. Community Coffee, strong as our roots. Discover more at Community Coffee.
Jesus.
.com.
Mm. Just hanging on every word there, Tepper.
You really were.
Mm-hmm. Matt Stepp, this is actually delicious community coffee. It's the dark and bold roast, and it's fueling me right now. Matt Stepp, your Texas High School Football.
I have so much energy.
Fun fact of the week.
He's excited today.
Are you in the playoffs?
Exactly right. Of the 352 teams in the UIL that are still remaining, how many of them still have a record under 500 of those 352?
This is a lot harder than Pickle's question 2 weeks ago.
I know, but I was taking it easy on her.
Let's go with 25.
It's a good guess, but you know when I say it's a good guess, I don't mean it's a good guess. I mean you're wrong.
It means I suck.
The answer is 15.
It means get good.
The answer is 15. The answer is 15.
Okay,
now, I did not expect you to get three of them. Farwell, Medina, Medina and Blackwell are six-man teams that are under 500. Mm-hmm. But other teams that are under 500, 5-6 Farwell, 5-6 Hearn, 5-6 Van Vleck. We talked with Shannon DePermenter earlier today. Big win over Blanco.
Big win.
5-6 Amarillo River Road, 5-6 Dieball, 5-6 Marion, 5-6 Geronimo Navarro, 5-6 Andrews, 5-6 Dumas, 5-6 Lancaster. That's right, remember, because they were 4-6 in early play.
Yeah, their schedule is ridiculous.
It was. 4-7 Coleman.
Who's won 4 in a row.
0-7 to 4-7 in the area round. 4-7 Pilot Point. Big upset one over Mahale.
I have Pilot Point at 3-8. You can double check that.
And finally...
But they're still losing, right?
3-8 Crawford. Crawford went into the playoffs 2-8, another 3-8.
They beat San Saba.
The Armadillos.
The Armadillos went down.
Tough. Tough deal. Anyway, your Texas high school fun fact of the week. All right. Let's take a look at the first round of the Texas high school football playoffs, Matthew. Is it just me, or was it pretty wacky out there? By district standards.
It was wacky on two fronts because we obviously had a lot of four seeds and a lot of chaos. And then we also had the exact opposite end of the spectrum where we had some pretty epic lopsided scores too.
Yes.
Like that was one thing I noticed aside from the four seeds was we had a lot of 80 spots put up and a 91 spot put up. Shout out to San Antonio Davenport putting up 91 on Ishmael Johnson's Maynard New Tech Titans.
Yoinks.
Here's the thing about that, because we hear this all the time. It's like, oh, man, look at all these blowouts.
There's always blowouts.
There's blowouts in the regular season. Like, I would my guess is that you have the same percentage of regular season blowouts as you do in the first round of the playoffs. The issue for me is that, like, I don't necessarily – there's no real fundamental difference between 49-0 and 82-0. They just feel different.
It's just a shocking scoreline.
Just a shocking scoreline.
I think we've come used to – even 70s, we're like, okay, they scored 70, okay.
Yeah.
But when you get to the, when you get that 8 in the first number, it's like, ooh.
It's a lot. It's a lot, it's a for lot. Sure.
So,
okay.
The other thing I think really tough week for El Paso.
Did they go 1 in – what was the record?
Well, if you – the city – teams went 1-14, and the metro area I think was 1-16.
And like Clinton stuff.
Clinton,
like that.
Anthony.
Oh
yeah, it was a tough scene for those guys. It was a rough. El Paso Del Valle carrying the flag for the 915.
Jake Fett.
Yeah,
he balled out.
Yeah, and you know another fun fact was Del Valle beating Abilene Cooper. It's the first time Abilene Cooper's ever lost in the playoffs to an El Paso school.
Oh, wow.
They were like 18-0.
Interesting.
And so it was the first time. So the one win was that. So it was a tough week for the Sun City.
I thought you had a number of games that we thought were going to live up to the hype that did. On the picks I previewed, for example, Angleton and Pflugerville Weiss. Terrific game.
Boy, Pflugerville Weiss is a tough luck team. Their three losses this year are to Consol, College Station, and Angleton. I want to say by a total of 20 points. Like, they're all one-score games.
Brutal. That game lived up to the hype. Coppell Prosper lived up to the hype.
Yeah, you were concerned.
We were sweating. We were sweating in the Tepper household.
Yeah.
But Cowboy Fight Never Dies is not a slogan. It's a way of life.
Oh, God.
Found a win.
Eddie G
came back. I mean, I won the defense boat up, too. Like, it was really, really... But it was awfully impressive.
Prosper's a top 20 team. Like,
exactly.
That's the kind of game you expect in that matchup.
But the thing that I love about the first round of the playoffs is it's always the games you don't expect. Van Vleck and Blanco was so far off our radar.
Yeah.
Shadow Creek and Fort Bend Elkins.
It was a wild Thursday night in Houston to open the playoffs with Shadow Creek losing to Elkins and with Fort Bend ISD right in the middle of both games.
Like a
Manville beating and Alvin ISD because Manville beats Manville shocks Hightower. So a couple of crazy results in the Houston area for sure.
Yeah, and then you kind of look across the landscape. I tweeted about it how we had 20 double digit underdogs win.
Yeah.
Like Pilot Point Mejia is a perfect example. Like Pilot Point Mejia is a game that was just totally, we didn't even like think about it, honestly. Yeah. We were just like, okay, well, that's the way that's...
Chad World doing a heck of a job there at the alma mater.
It is.
Pilot Point was winless last year.
Yeah.
And now they're in the area around the playoffs.
It is wild. Okay, so is there anything that happened? The one thing I would say is that, like, in the first round of the playoffs, you can have every once in a while, like, a true contender get knocked off in the first round. I would say the closest we really came... It's probably Shadow Creek in 6A D2. Them and I would say Hightower, both of those. 6A Division 2. If you're looking for a big winner of the area round, or the Bidas ground, Summer Creek. I mean, not just did they win their opening round game, that's important, but like the past
two
fields,
biggest contenders in the region have gone
have been vanquished. Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't think if there was any other teams that were, like, I would consider on that short list of contenders.
Not true. Even Timpson, they were defending champs, but we knew they were just not the same team.
I'll give you one, maybe, that if you squinted, but, like, Madisonville losing the first round of the playoffs, that was a team that had a high upside.
Or Robinson.
Robinson, too.
Robinson spent a good amount of time in the top 10 rankings this year. And they got beat pretty handily by Sealy. They got got Kane Killo'd because Kane Killo had like 8 touchdowns. He's up for player of the week this week for Sealy.
Yeah, I mean, it was a wild... We've talked about it all week. It's been a wild week, the first week of the Texas High School Football Playoffs.
One team that was in trouble that pulled out was Palestine Westwood. They were down 21-7 early, and then they were down in the fourth quarter 33-28, and they scored 14 straight to end, but they were on the ropes.
Well, do not mess around this week.
No. Like you said it perfectly on the show, the messing around is over with. Yeah. If you have a bad half, you're probably airing it back.
That's exactly right. Yeah, because it was, you know, like you were at the North Crowley game. North Crowley was taking on Byron Nelson, and it was 21 up at half.
Yeah.
And they were getting Grant Riz jacked.
Yeah.
And credit to Byron Nelson, who had stuck for the fight. But, like, you can't be doing that anymore. Like, everybody gets, like, first round, if you want to fart around for one half, you can.
Yeah.
But after this, like...
The teams get better. The stakes get higher. The weather gets colder, supposedly.
Allegedly.
Yeah. I was in Amarillo this week, and it was not cold. And I'm like, what are we even doing here? It's like...
It was not cold at all.
No.
Anyway, anything else from the first round of the Texas High School Playoffs?
I'm ready for round two.
I am too.
I'm ready for this.
Let's get to it. It is time for your area round draft. Here's how it works. Steph and I go back and forth, selecting games we are most interested in. That is the phrase, the pace. We didn't have one last week.
No, we just talked brackets last week.
We just talked brackets. But like hypothetically, this week, if Matt Stepp wanted to draft...
Oh, I'm not prepared.
Oh, okay, give me a second.
I got one.
You're listening to
me. I got one.
If Matt Stepp wanted to draft...
Newton and Edgewood.
He could draft Newton and Edgewood. And just sell us on why he's interested in that.
Yeah.
We'll go back and forth 5 rounds, selecting games we're most interested in. There is no hipster game of the week because all these games are good.
They're all awesome.
It's a playoff game. So then we'll round it out by seeing what V&A wrote down on her notes and hearing where Stepp is going this week. So...
Where am I going this week? That's a great question.
Like an existential question. Where are any of us going this week?
Oh, God.
You know what I mean?
Did you see the kid who interviewed Mike Tyson and she asked him about his legacy? And he's like, we're just all going to be dust soon. I was like, where is Nihilistic Arby's when you need him?
Yeah, exactly. You're like, eat at Arby's, folks.
Yeah.
All right.
You're going to die. Eat at Arby's.
We had a coin flip before the show. Matt Stepp won the coin flip, which means he gets to pick 1-1 of the 2024 area round game draft. Matt Stepp, what is your first pick of the draft?
7 o'clock Friday night at the Rig in Pearland, Texas. 10-1 Fort Bend Ridge Point taking on 11-0 Galena Park North Shore. This is the game of the week in the Houston area, and in my opinion, the game of the week in the state of Texas.
I think this is the first time I've done this season, but I'll just say this. If you are North Shore, alarms need to be going off here. Because I think this is, in many ways, a potentially problematic matchup for North Shore.
Ridge Point is one of the few teams in the state that can match North Shore talent for talent. Like, Ridge Point is loaded with dudes. And they're 10-1 on the year. And last week, Pasadena Adobe came out, scored in the first drive of the game, and then Ridge Point said, okay, we're done with that, and scored like 28 in a row.
That was neat. Goodbye.
Yeah. They've got that guy at quarterback. Austin Carlisle, the Houston commit, is one of the most fun players in the state of Texas. He throws for 3 touchdowns. He runs for 2 touchdowns. He's just – not only is he super talented, but he's an incredible leader of that team. And that combination is really, really dangerous come playoff time. Elon Conley, their running back – Dane Jones had a touchdown catch, the TCU commit. They're loaded. They're secondary loaded. This is a really, really elite Ridge Point. In my opinion, the most talented Ridge Point team that we've seen, top to bottom. And this is probably really more of a round 4 type matchup than a second round matchup, but it just goes to show you how tough Region 3 is in 6A Division 1. You know, North Shore, I watched yesterday, actually. I went through and watched a good portion of their game against Deer Park. And North Shore wins 56-13. Really never pushed. Deer Park got a 28-13 at the half. One of their receivers made a sensational catch in the end zone. And then North Shore outscores them 28-0 in the second half, and it's over.
Kind of workmanlike.
Yeah, just a solid. Deer Park gave them a much – Deer Park last year pushed them for about 2.5 quarters before North Shore pulled away. DeAndre Hardeman and Chris Thomas, they're running back duo, both scored two touchdowns. Thomas had one receiving touchdown and one rushing touchdown. Quanell Farrakhan had a touchdown catch. The interesting thing here is, and I don't know what happened in this game, but Caleb Bailey, after about late second quarter, never returned to the game. Caleb Maryland played the entire second half of this game. And it didn't appear to be an injury. So now Caleb Maryland's really, really good. I mean, he's got Division I offers as a junior. And
a junior backup.
Yes, which just shows you how loaded North Shore is. Their backup quarterback has offers. And Maryland's played a lot this year and played very well. And there's some people who have opined that they think North Shore might be better off with Maryland at quarterback. So this situation is something interesting to watch. Again, I don't know. Maybe Caleb Bailey got hurt and we just didn't notice it in the broadcast. But, you know, I don't know. All I know is Caleb Maryland took all the snaps late second quarter until the game got out of reach, and then another quarterback came in to finish the game. So going to be watching that situation very closely. It didn't really matter for North Shore. Their offense is going to click, and they're going to hum. I mean, they're Caleb. If there's a team that has a QB2 who is as good as QB1, it's North Shore.
Mm-hmm.
The difference in this North Shore team, I've said it a few times, their defense. North Shore's defense, and we know about Devin Sanchez, but Charles Ross, the LSU commit, their defensive line is unbelievable this year. This North Shore defense is 2018 level.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's the key in this game. That's why I like North Shore. I think their defense is really the difference maker for this unit.
Pringle, the other corner.
Yeah, Pringle's committed to Arkansas. Yeah, like their second cornerback's committed to Arkansas.
I mean, they're loaded.
Ohio State, Arkansas, LSU linebacker commit. They got their safety is a 3 or 4 star kid. Like, they're loaded.
They're back to playing like, you're right, like 2015, 2018 yeah. caliber East Side defense.
Yes.
You know what I mean? And they play with an edge. They play fast. They take the ball away.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the thing. I think Ridgepoint can win this game, but they have to. I think they got to get North. They got to turn North Shore over.
Yeah, they need some breaks. They need a lot to go right. I mean, I think if all things being equal, North Shore wins this game.
I think so.
Comfortably. I think Ridgepoint's going to need some breaks to pull it off. Now, they're talented enough where if they get some breaks, they can win it, but they're going to need a few breaks.
The thing that gives me a little bit of pause here is like Ridgepoint's, one of Ridgepoint's, arguably their signature win is their win over Hightower,
mm-hmm.
and that has suddenly faded a little bit. You know what I mean? That sure. Suddenly now doesn't look as good as possible.
I'd say Hightower and Bridgeland are their two best.
Yeah, yeah. Now I would say that, you know, this is a Ridgepoint team that is on that short list of guys with top end dudes like North Shore has, mm-hmm. which makes this a super interesting matchup. But I think I think North Shore's probably got to be your favorite. So good pick there for your first pick. My first pick, Matthew. You know how we try to tell people that they need to subscribe to get the podcast early, just in case we preview a Thursday game?
Absolutely.
7 o'clock Thursday night at the Star in Frisco.
Shout out to Poochie the Star.
As the 11-0 Alvarado Indians take on the 10-1 Frisco Panther Creek Panthers,
mm-hmm.
in my favorite track meet.
I was going to say, this is the official Tap and Step Cut the Brakes game of the week.
This is, yeah, let's get the, do we have the sounder for the Cut the Brakes game of the week?
Oh, yeah, 1 second.
Yeah, thank you. Okay.
Pretend it's there.
Okay, great. This is the Cut the Brakes game
of
the week.
I thought she had one.
I thought she did, too. I love everything about this game.
Mm-hmm.
Let's talk a little bit about Panther Creek. They've got the one loss in the year to Salina. Mm-hmm. Now, Salina's been doing that to a lot of people, and again, you want to talk about impressive. And yeah. One, they were an 80 burger team, I think.
75.
Okay.
Yeah. What are you even doing, Salina? What are you even doing?
Are they broken? 888-787. But the playmakers that Panther Creek have offensively, Graylin Frye, Jalen Lott, Christian Trickett. Mm. I actually think their running back, Centel Simpson, is the problem is that he's got so many other great playmakers there that he's like very clearly the fourth most
and he's playing out of position. He's not a natural running back. He's playing it kind of out of necessity.
Mm-hmm.
He's really a outside receiver. You don't see a lot of 6'4" running backs.
Yeah.
Like, he's just kind of helping the team
but
out here.
He's a dog. Yeah. And their offense has been really, really terrific.
Mm-hmm.
Speaking of terrific offenses. A gentleman who is decidedly invited to the Dudes Rock Banquet.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
One of the initial invites. Cartier Collier is coming to town.
Yeah. I put his stats in the Slack.
Yeah.
Last night. They're unbelievable.
I can pull this up.
He's got 64 total touchdowns through 11 games.
Wow.
I'm not a math major or anything, Vams, but I feel like that's about 6 touchdowns a game.
Sounds about right.
Yeah, seems good.
Feels good. Let's see if I got this.
There's other guys that they have that are. DeMarcus Belton has 2,000 plus yards of offense. Lance Sampson, their running back.
Yeah, he's a 3,000 yard passer, and he will be over 1,200 yards rushing this week.
Crazy.
Insane. He's put up crazy, crazy numbers. But you're right. He's not alone. Like, this whole offense is humming. And when you take a look at just from a production perspective, just statistically, these are two of the very best offenses in all of 4A Division One.
Oh,
Alvarez
sure.
is the number one scoring offense in 4A Division One.
They're averaging over 60 a game.
And then Panther Creek is 10th at 43 points a game. Here's the other thing about these two teams. How in love with either of these defenses are you?
Not. Not in love?
I'll tell you that Panther Creek is giving up 20 points a game. But that is a little misleading because I think that they have they're both giving up about 20 points per game. But I think that both of those are a little misleading because Panther Creek gave up 42 to Salina, 35 to Paris, 44 to the Fightin' Green Birds of Lake Dallas in quadruple overtime, 40 to Aubrey in overtime. Every time they've played a high-powered offense, they've kind of been lit up.
Yeah, yeah.
The same thing kind of goes for Alvarado.
Mm-hmm.
That, like, every time they've played, first of all, I don't know the highest score. They played Waco Connolly, which is probably the best comp, honestly. They played Glen Rose.
Glen Rose. I was gonna say Glen Rose.
Glen Rose. They gave up 50.
Yeah,
they won 71-50.
Yeah, yeah.
But they gave up 50.
Gave 50 burger. I think. Robinson put up some numbers on.
Yeah, Robinson put up 42. Here is my question to you, Matthew. Does 42 points win this game?
No.
Does 49?
No.
You think you got to be in the 50s?
I think you got to get to 50 to be comfortably winning this game. Now, I'm going to be interested. I think Alvarado, their magic trick or their ace in the hole is going to be they've been two platooning all year. I think you are going to see Alvarado's stars on offense spend time on defense in this game.
Mm-hmm.
I think now Casey Wall Raven's like, we've been trying to two platoon this thing. In situational football, key situations, I expect to see Cartier Collier on defense. I expect to see Lance Sampson on defense. DeMarcus Bell. I think they are going to put their dudes on defense in this game because they're going to need to. I think that's their only hope in slowing Panther Creek down. I think this is the last team who has the ball wins kind of game.
I think I like Alvarado. I think in the end they've got the guy. This is a game full of guys.
Yes.
And Jalen Lott has every reason to be known as the guy, too.
Yeah.
But I think they've got the guy who's going to have the ball in his hands every play. And Cartier Collier, I think also being indoors on a fast track, bro.
Yeah.
This is going to be back and forth.
If you're into cutting the brakes, this is your kind of game.
So
I think this is the game I'm probably going to be watching on my tablet on Thursday. I think we're going to have some staff at that game. So. Should be fun. I've seen both teams play, and they both can get it done.
They can both get after it. It's going to be fun. Panther Creek and Alvarado is my first pick. What's your second pick, Matthew?
7:00 Friday night at Tigerland Stadium in College Station.
I like this game.
In my opinion, the best quarterback matchup in the state of Texas takes place in College Station in 3A Division One. As Palestine Westwood at 11-0. Takes on the Columbus Cardinals at 10-1. And this is a crazy good matchup in Class 3A for the area round of the playoffs. And it just shows you how tough Region 3 is in 3A Division 1. For Westwood, they've got sophomore sensation Kavian Bryan at quarterback. I think he is a candidate to be a five-star prospect by most of the major recruiting services. And I know Greg Powers, we went to Palestine and watched him, and Greg Powers loves the kid. On the other side, you got Columbus, and you've got Adam Schobel, the TCU commit, who I don't think gets enough credit for being as good as he is.
Yeah.
I mean, as As good as KV and Brian is, Adam Schoble, number one, the throws that he makes are ridiculous.
They are absurd.
The efficiency at which Columbus plays offense is shocking sometimes. So last week against Cameron Yeo, Columbus won 48-13.
Mm-hmm.
It was 48-0 at halftime. And Columbus pulled off in the second half, put the backups in. Because Columbus is banged up. Like, that's one thing. If you're a Columbus fan, one thing that concerns you is they're banged up. They've had a lot of injuries in the trenches. Grayson Rigdon did play last week, but I don't think he's 100%.
No, I don't think
by
so
any
either.
Means. So I think getting him out of the game was key as well for Columbus, because they've got a long playoff run, hopefully. And at this point, you know, maybe in the first round, you know, I would have considered maybe not playing Rigdon last week just to give him another week's of rest. But, you know, Coach Schoble knows a lot more than me.
He does.
You know, he's way smarter than I am.
Absolutely true.
Fair. He's probably a way better athlete than me. As well.
That's not a... Well, I don't know.
No, he was. He's an NFL player.
I don't remember him playing JUCO basketball.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. So... I still want my free
meal. Got you there,
yeah.
Schoble.
Yeah. Who cares about this NFL stuff? Region 14, baby. ridiculous. This show is ridiculous. You look at Westwood, and we talked about it. Westwood struggled last week.
Yes, he did.
Harden, a kind of a slot T, wing T kind of team, just ground out and just ran the ball right at Westwood and played keep away from him and gave Westwood a hard time. They pulled away 42-33, and Bryant had to put the cape on. You know, he had to do a lot. He had four rushing touchdowns and threw a touchdown pass. Mm-hmm. John Denman, the TCU commit at running back for Westwood, he's battling an injury. He gutted it out and had a touchdown run. And I think we may see John Denman and KV and Bryant on the defensive side of the ball for Westwood this week, talking about Alvarado. I think both these teams are explosive. I'm just more confident in the Columbus defense to find a way to get a stop or two in this game. And I'm not nearly as confident in the Westwood defense. So I like Columbus in this game. I think it's going to be fun. I think it's going to be an absolute shootout. But when the chips are down, I think Columbus's defense will find a way to get a couple of stops and make Westwood play from behind, and I just don't know if they can catch up.
Yeah, I think I'm there too. I think that Columbus's defense is
also
not...
strength of schedule. Sorry, that's one thing. There's a huge gulf in the strength of schedules here. And Westwood's defense, Westwood's district, I mean, credit to them, they went 4-0.
Yeah.
But the non-district schedule, Westwood played a bunch of 2A schools, and Columbus has wins over Cuero, Belleville.
Yep.
LaGrange, the one loss to Hitchcock. I mean, Columbus is Madisonville. The non-district schedule that Columbus played is just brutal. They're more battle-tested.
I agree with that. I also just think that, like, Columbus, I'm not here to tell you that I think their defense is elite, but I think their defense is pretty good. Pretty good.
Yeah.
And that should be enough to win this ball game, because I don't think Westwood's defense can come up consistently with stops against Columbus. Unless Columbus just puts the ball on the ground a bunch of times.
I mean, we talked about Columbus. I mean, they held... Hitchcock... Mm-hmm. That was a... Hitchcock didn't just run up and down the field on them. They won the game, but Hitchcock had to work.
Yeah, they had to work, for sure.
And I think they had 33 in regulation, I think. So,
sounds right. Yeah. This, to me, feels like 48-31 or something like that. I think Westwood gets theirs, but I'm just not sure they stop Columbus consistently.
And I think Columbus gets to stop each half and kind of extends the lead a little
more or less. Yeah. Okay. My second pick, Matthew. Is there a better place to be in the state of Texas this week than the Hub City? Because let me tell you, Lubbock is popping this week.
Lubbock is going to be the place to be Thursday and Friday. There's some absolute bangers in the Hub City.
And you got your pick here. I'm going to go 7 o'clock Friday night at Lowry Field in Lubbock.
Okay. Beautiful stadium.
A 2A Division II Region 1 matchup that I think, in my opinion, is for the region title.
Okay.
As the Wink Wildcats take on the Stratford Elks.
Okay.
Stratford, you may remember, was our preseason number one team in 2A Division II.
Correct.
And their record is 7-3.
Mm-hmm.
It's not always been pretty for them. They have, now, part of it at least, is they have run an exceptionally difficult schedule.
They have.
They have played, let's see, I'm pulling up their schedule, not Houston Stratford, not you,
They played a tough schedule, too.
They did, too. They've got losses to Panhandle, aged well. They're an area
Panhandle's
around team.
Panhandle's 10-1.
Sunray.
11-0.
Two teams also playing in Lubbock this weekend. And they have a loss to Groover, who's undefeated.
11-0.
Okay. And by the way, the Panhandle and Groover games were each decided by 13 points total. We know what they're about. They're about Bryce Braden. And Bryce Braden, also a dude who rocks.
He does rock.
He has been... They have asked him to do a lot. He is very clearly their best player.
Yes. On both sides of the ball.
On both sides of the ball. He is... I regret to inform you, he is no longer their leading passer.
No, they've...
Caleb Lantelme has... Or Chase Lantelme has taken over.
Yeah, he had a great game last week in their win over Crosbyton.
Yes.
He had a great game.
He's no longer their leading passer. But he is their leading rusher. I think...
And their leading tackler, probably.
And he is. And when the chips are down, there is no doubt who's getting the ball and who they turn to make a play. Well, here comes Wink. And it's important to remember that coming into the season, I think that the common wisdom around Wink was, well, they missed their window. You know, Cannon Gibson's gone. Who is their do-everything superstar?
He's at West Texas A&M starting for them.
Exactly right. They missed their window. I would say that this may be the opening of a new window because they've got a pair of sophomores who are ready for prime time. Kamid Fasciani, their running back, has
had
been
a huge year.
Unbelievable. And then this this Lane Lesby has taken over a quarterback, and he's been great.
Yeah.
Offensively, they've been very, very good. The other thing about this is that I think that the Wink defense, I think it's better than it was last year.
I think they're great. They brought a lot of guys back. They're a year older, bigger, stronger. They're better.
They are better. This is, to me, like I said, I like Groover a lot. I do. And I think they'll be in the regional final. I mean, the winner of this game will play Groover in a regional final.
Agree.
I think the winner of this game, I will probably install as a small favorite in the regional final. That's where I'm at. I picked Wink to win the region, so I'm picking Wink in this game.
Okay.
I think they're ahead of schedule right now. And I think that, like, the reload that Brian Gibson's got cooking there at
Wink,
on the fly is ahead of schedule. In the end, the main character in this game is Bryce Braden. He's playing for his high school career. He's a senior. He's already like a legend out there.
He's got one state championship as a freshman.
Exactly.
The other thing about Stratford, they're healthy.
Yes. You know,
Julio Valdez missed a lot of time. He's kind of that third weapon that they use in the passing game. And I think the development of the sophomore quarterback takes the pressure off Braden. He doesn't have to do everything. They can give him a little bit of a breather on offense because Valdez is very versatile. He can line up at receiver. He can go to running back. And so if Braden needs a blow playing defense, they can sit Braden down for a minute, let Valdez get some carries. It just opens things up and makes Stratford a lot more versatile football team. They've got to stay healthy.
Yeah, they've got to stay
healthy.
Most
2A.
2A D2, exactly. There's not a lot of depth. Your depth is...
And Stratford just kind of went through it early in the year with injuries, and they're getting healthy at the right time.
Yeah. Fascinating ball game. Huge game in Region 1. I'm rolling with Wink. I'm gonna ride or die. You know, it wouldn't surprise me. Stratford was the number one team in the state, obviously, for a reason.
Sure.
And all their games have been close, but I'm going with the Wildcats of Wink.
Love it.
What was your third pick, Matthew?
7 o'clock Friday night at Randall Reed Stadium in New Caney, live on TexanLive.com. As the 10-1 Lufkin Panthers take on the 10-1 College Station Cougars in a juicy Region 3 matchup in 5A Division 1.
Hey, V, can I have the single shot?
Oh.
This game? Hot. Go on.
There you go.
God.
Just give the Greg Tepper sexy game of the week and do the Kim Kardashian meme where she's just going like that, you know? Just need that.
Thanks for paying for this podcast, guys.
Yeah, this is an awesome, awesome matchup. Lufkin played on Saturday, and as expected, they handled Houston Milby easily. I was a little bit late to getting to this game, pulled up on my tablet, and when I pulled it up, it was 21-0 already. That's kind of how the game went. 35-0 in the first quarter, running clock second half. It was over with in about an hour and 45 minutes. It was what you expect in a lopsided first-round game. Lufkin's defense dominated. You know, if you haven't watched Zion Williams, the LSU commit, you need to watch him. Lufkin's defense is unbelievable. Mm-hmm. And the emergence of quarterback Quincy Kuti has been huge for this Lufkin offense. He threw three first-half touchdown passes. He's dynamic running the football. Just what dimension that he gives to the Lufkin offense. Lufkin's offense early in the year kind of struggled. You know, the one loss, they lost to Lufkin, the Longview 7-3 in the season opener. And they hadn't quite figured the offense out yet. And this is an offense that graduated a running back and went to Notre Dame. Like they figured some things out. They've won 10 in a row, including wins over Galveston Ball, Barbers Hill, and Port Arthur Memorial, just to name a few. Just been dominant. This is their biggest test in a while, though. College Station is playoff tested. They've been through the battles. Doesn't matter if it's Steve Huff, Stoney Pryor, head coach. They just find ways to win games. They get state championship games. They always make deep playoff runs.
Mm-hmm.
Lufkin does not have the playoff pedigree that college, which is weird to say that College Station is such a new school, but they've got more playoff pedigree than Lufkin has. Lufkin hasn't been past the second round of the playoffs, I think, since 2018. So this is a huge game, I think, for the Lufkin program and for Todd Quick and his kind of legacy at Lufkin. You know, he replaced a legend when John Outlaw passed away. And he, you know, following a legend is really, really tough.
And they had some lean years. They had
Yeah, I mean, they haven't made the playoffs since 2020.
Yeah.
So this is a huge legacy game, I think, for Todd Quick. Just trying to, now I want to say get out of John Outlaw's shadow, because he's coached for John Outlaw. He loves that man. But I think Todd Quick, this would be among the bigger wins in his career if he can get this win over College Station. College Station last week, no problem with Crosby, 41-10. Cade Corcoran threw four touchdown passes. Got Aiden Martinez Brown involved. Martinez Brown actually caught two touchdown passes. So they're using Martinez Brown in a lot of different ways. I think the winner of this game, in my opinion, is going to get to the regional final, probably against Consol. I think the winner of Region 3 gets to AT&T Stadium. This is a huge game.
Yeah.
I think the winner of this game has a really good shot to get to AT&T Stadium.
Mm-hmm.
It's a legacy game for Todd Quick as a coach, and I think Lufkin gets it done.
Wow!
I'm picking Lufkin in a close one to knock off College Station.
I'm on College Station, but I think this is a coin flippy type,
I like
one big play type game.
Do you remember when Longview played at State? If Lufkin made it to State, we would see very similar kind of rowdy crowd at 18.
581, right?
Yeah.
Saturday morning.
Yeah. We'd see a pretty rowdy
Lufkin
bunch.
Alito would be a nice little crowd there.
It would be a good crowd, yeah. Just saying. A lot of football left to be played.
A lot of football left to be played.
But I'm picking Lufkin.
Okay. Fascinating ball game. Fascinating. It's a purple party. Matt Stepp, let's go. 7 o'clock Friday at Memorial Stadium in Poth. I'm sorry, in Victoria.
Oh, I think you just gave it away, Tucker.
I just gave it away. 7 o'clock Friday at Memorial Stadium in Victoria, as the 11-0 Poth Pirates take on the 10-1. East Bernard Bramas in a game that you could convince me the winner of this game is playing at AT&T.
Absolutely. I think the winner of this game, I think, emerges as...
I think the Region 4 favorite.
Yes, yes.
And I think that right now, sports gun to my head, sight unseen, I'd probably put Region 4 as a slight favorite over Region 3.
Okay.
Maybe. Okay. I mean, it depends. Styles make fights, but...
VD of the sports gun? You have it, right? Okay. Making sure you got it.
Just sports gun in my head.
I just cracked it.
I think these are the two best teams.
Yeah.
These are the two best teams in Region 4, and they're meeting here because Tidehaven and David Lucio...
Just that guy.
Just throwing, you know...
The thriller from the killer.
They're just throwing the spike strips down.
Did we ever tell you the story? We need to tell you the story about the thriller.
Yeah,
from
write
the killer.
Down the thriller from the killer. We'll tell you the
story. Thriller from the killer.
Yeah,
we'll tell you about that. We'll tell you after the show.
So
on the air, but just
Poth. Poth is this is a top six matchup in 3A Division 2, by the way, and Poth 11-0 rolling. Rolled past Hepburnville last week.
Yeah, I watched some highlights of that game and it wasn't close.
What is interesting about Poth this year? Is they've always been a running team. team, and Kane Stover has been the tip of the spear. They can sling it a little bit.
They're slinging it.
They are open to the offense. Major Luna.
If you're a quarterback and your name is Major, you're probably going to be good.
And you're a coach's kid?
Yeah.
That dude was built to be the quarterback
He was born in it.
Frick, he was terrific last week. Well, here's East Bernard. We've talked about East Bernard on this program a couple of times before. And basically, if it weren't for that loss, this is a regional final if it's not for the loss to Tidehaven.
Correct.
And the way that Jeremy Jenkins has reinvented this offense in a hurry.
He's doing that thing.
He's...
Like he did at Harmony in his first year, and he's doing that thing in East Bernard.
He is. They have reinvigorated that offense. The offense is rolling, and their defense is playing very well as well.
That typical East Bernard tough
Absolutely.
Defense. Yeah.
This is, I think this is Judgment Day in Region 4.
Dun, dun, dun.
Here's why I'm on East Bernard.
Okay.
Even I think that the path that they walked to get here.
Toughest,
I think they are
toughest district in the state in 3A D2.
I think they are more battle tested, and I think that even though with the loss, I think when you talk about a win over Goliad, a win over Ganado, a win over Van Vleck has aged pretty well, right? Rice Consolidated, right? Vanderbilt Industrial, they came through a very difficult district,
brutal district, yeah,
and a difficult non-district. Poth, I think there is a fair argument to be made. Yeah, I mean, this is by far their toughest game of the year.
No question.
That, like, they have a win over Shiner, but Shiner's a 2A D2.
Mm-hmm.
And by the way, Shiner hung with them. It's 21-14,
which
says a lot about Shiner. I like East Bernard. I am in on the Jeremy Jenkins revolution at East Bernard.
Oh, revolution.
And I think they can play for it all. I think they can win Region 4. I think they can beat whoever comes out of Region 3. I think they can play for a state championship. And I'll just say this. This is getting way down the path. When you talk about, we talked about in the bracket show, you talk about the teams that have given Gunner trouble historically.
Mm-hmm.
They tend to be high-end, top-end athletic. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? East Bernard kind of fits that bill.
They do. They have some elite athletes. Yeah. I actually agree with you. I'm 100% agree with you. I think East Bernard is more battle-tested. I think they're going to get the win.
Wow. Yeah. Look at us. We don't have to fight on our show.
Yeah.
It's great. That logo was actually taken right after we got done, like in Fight Club.
Yeah.
That's what people don't see.
DCTF Fight Club.
Exactly right.
Yes.
What's your fourth pick, Matthew?
Where would DCTF Fight Club be held?
We can't talk about it.
Oh, that's right. We can't.
The chill.
What's your fourth pick, Matthew? The joke for four.
8 o'clock. Football after dark. 8 o'clock Friday night at Patriot Stadium.
Going back out to
in Lubbock. Our boy, Armando Lujan, 11-0 Sunray. Did you see the picture I took with Armando Lujan?
Yes. I want to take a picture with him now.
He's mine.
You can see him with a dude's rock pack.
Let's
go.
He's my guy. It's my dude.
Oh, sorry, my bad. I'm sorry.
Taking on 10-1 Holly. At the second game of a doubleheader at Patriot Stadium in Lubbock, on the campus of Lubbock Liberty High School.
Here's a hot take. You said earlier, and I agree with you, that Westwood and Columbus is the best quarterback matchup in the state.
Mm-hmm.
Is this the most fun?
It's a good candidate
matchup,
because you've got Armando Lujan, who needs 382 passing yards to set the UIL career record.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
I validated that number with our friend Kale Steen out there.
How many yards?
300. He needs 382. So big game. He could conceivably break the record this week. Last week, now, and then you got Keegan Abels there at Hawley, who quietly's had a monster season as well for the Bearcats. I was at Sunray Alton last week, and they started out slow. It was 0-0 for a good portion of the first half, and then the offense got cooking. Lujan runs for two touchdowns. He throws for two touchdowns, and just for funsies, he got an interception on defense as well because, 2A football, right?
Yep.
Arnold Mendoza, their running back, had a great game, 78 yards rushing. He had a touchdown. He also had two touchdown catches. And they got a linebacker, Luke Grajeda, who's just a beast.
Mm-hmm.
Just unbelievable. He had 12 tackles, just a menace on the defensive side of the ball. Comes out on offense, plays some tight end, and just destroys people. Sunray's a lot of fun. And you got Holly, and they, nice bounce back from their loss to Stanford in week 11. They roll past Ozona 57-21. Keegan Abels throws for 250 and two touchdowns. Alan Barker rushes for 195 and three touchdowns. If Hawley can find their running game, that's going to be huge for them.
Absolutely.
Because they've been really relying on Abels, especially late in the year. I think this is if they can get Barker going, that's going
to
be key.
When they lost to Stanford, that was largely it was because Keegan Abels got his, but it was kind of he was the only one out there doing it.
Yeah, and then and then Stanford's pinning their ears back. Absolutely. And getting after him, and you got to be. And I think this is a similar scenario here. I think Hawley has got to be able to run the football. Yep. Against that Sunray defense if they want to stay in this game. If they can't run the ball and they get one dimensional, and they've got to, and Abels has got to throw it 40 times, Sunray's winning this football game. Mm-hmm. So I think they got to get the running game going. I just don't know if they can, because that Sunray front seven is nasty.
Yeah.
They are very, very good. Senior heavy. There's a lot. There's like 4 or 5 4-year starters in that crew. A lot of football, a lot of experience. I think the defense and Lujan get Sunray to Thanksgiving weekend. So I like the Bobcats in this one over Hawley.
I do too. Keegan Abels is like, I mean, that, like, as far as like short list of guys who can go like play for play. Mm-hmm. With Armando Lewin, like Keegan Abels is down on that list. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
This is a fascinating ball game and a late night ball game on a Friday night.
I know. Region 1 after dark.
Region 1 after dark.
Hashtag Hub City after dark.
At night.
Let's get it going.
Matt Stepp, my fourth pick. Let's go to the danger zone.
Ooh.
3:00 Saturday at Waco ISD Stadium.
Dang, I was going to pick this game.
I present to you the danger zone, which is the South Oak Cliff Golden Bears. Mm-hmm. Taking on the Huntsville Hornets.
Mm-hmm.
And South Oak Cliff needs no introduction at this point. We haven't talked about them in quite a while, because basically probably since they played Longview. Because
they beat Longview in Longview. They beat Longview. Which, what a feather in the cap.
Very impressive. Yeah. Victory. And they've been rolling, right? They're running the ball very well. Damon Williams, Levon Morton, Mikhail Trotter. Furthermore,
and our guy at quarterback,
Ishmael
Johnson's favorite quarterback.
It's funny.
Hashtag Capecchi boys. That's the Ishmael text.
Carter Capecchi, he's cooking. He's playing really well right now. Playing strong.
Another quarterback I took a picture with.
And their offensive line, I think, is the real difference for them right now.
Sock in the Trenches is a 6A football team.
They,
on both sides of the ball.
They are, I think last year, their offensive and defensive lines were, especially the offense, let me just focus on the offensive line. Mm-hmm. Defensive line was very good. Offensive line was good. This year it is great to elite.
Yeah.
On the offensive line.
I agree.
And that has been what has really opened things up.
Mm-hmm.
I do not know if the defense at the top like is as elite as it has been in the past. That's a super high bar.
Especially in the secondary.
Yeah,
yeah, yeah.
Still pretty good.
Yes.
This is a South Oak Cliff team. Feels like we've been waiting for them to get to a regional final, potentially against PNG.
Maybe Texas High.
We'll see. Mm. Texas High looked really good.
Yeah.
Oh, boy. We'll talk about that game next week.
Mm.
I'm sure.
Mm-hmm.
They got to get there first, and I am here to tell you, I think Huntsville is a landmine.
For sure. It's Region 2 is brutal this year. And Huntsville is the first of what's going to be their brutal gauntlet. I love this Huntsville team.
The freshman quarterback, Zay Adolphe.
Yeah.
He's been unbelievable for them.
It's weird to say that their senior quarterback gets hurt and Adolph comes in and I think they might be better. They haven't lost since he's taken over. Yeah. They've done a great job managing the game, but that kid's going to be a real problem. Yes. When he's a senior. He's unbelievable.
Trayshawn Brown, they're running back. I mean, classic Huntsville running. Mm-hmm. Ball. And the other thing for me, and what makes this really interesting to me, is the defensive side. This is the best defense that South Oak Cliff has played probably since Longview.
For sure.
You know, now part of that is that I think they're just a lot better than everybody in their district. Mm-hmm. They're a lot better than Terrell last week. This is a defense. This is a Huntsville team. Let me say it in the camera. It is a Huntsville team that is good enough to beat South Oak Cliff.
Yeah. 100%. They're good enough to. Yeah.
And that said, look, if South Oak Cliff comes out focused, if they are able to win at the point of attack off on the offensive line, and they're able to come up with a couple of stops in the secondary and rattle this freshman quarterback, they will win, and they'll probably win going away.
Mm-hmm.
But This is danger zone. If they put the ball on the turf, or if Huntsville gets out to a lead, or if Zay Adolphe starts cooking, this is a potential upset in the making.
Yeah.
I am fascinated by this game. It's a Saturday afternoon affair.
Yeah, not a lot of Saturday games. A lot of eyes being in this game. Be a big crowd. I think it's going to be a big crowd at Waco
big
ISD.
Big crowd at Waco ISD. I think Huntsville's going to travel. Keep an eye on this one. South Oak Cliff and Huntsville is the first real test for South Oak Cliff in about 2 months.
The biggest two big things I'm watching out for is Adolph.
Is it Adolph?
It's Adolph, yeah. Okay. At least the Huntsville announcers said Adolph.
Works for me.
Going against that South Oak Cliff defense coordinated by Kyle Ward.
Yep.
We know what they can do in their elite defensive sock plays. They're going to throw a bunch of crap at this freshman. They're going to try to make the freshman be a freshman.
They're going to do the weirdest crap you've ever seen.
And I think the other thing is, obviously, Terrell head coach Marvin Sedbury told me Saturday morning or Friday morning after they played South Oak Cliff that that was the most physical team they've ever played, that he's ever played, regardless of classification.
He's been around.
That just tells you how good Sock is in the trenches. The other thing, Sock, this is a culture game. Sock has been in these situations, been in these moments, and come out on top. Huntsville has not. Mm-hmm. As a program in the past, Huntsville's been close. You remember they got, against Fort Bend Marshall. Who's the running back that plays for Miami Dolphins now that escapes me?
Oh, Devon Achand.
Yeah, they got Devon Achand in that game.
Uh-huh.
In the regional final, he threw a touchdown pass at the end of the game. They just and then this year against PNG, they were right there at PNG and just didn't do the little things to win the game. This would be the biggest win for Huntsville in probably since the early 80s when they were playing for state championships. Sock's been there, done that.
Mm-hmm.
So that's the question. We know Sock can do it.
Yep.
We don't know if Huntsville can. So that's the big thing that I'm watching in this game as well.
Good pick. What is your fifth and final pick, Matthew?
7 o'clock Friday night at the Warrior Coliseum in San Antonio. As the San Antonio Piper Warriors at 11-0 host, they get a home playoff game in round two. The Flower Bluff Hornets out of Corpus Christi coming into this game at 10-1. And much like East Bernard and Poth, we're getting this game in the second round because of a Week 11 overtime loss. As Flower Bluff got beat by Corpus Christi Vets in the season finale, and that put them in third place in the district. So that meant Flower Bluff, as good as that team is, had to go on the road last week to McAllen. And they did fine. They won 35-10. They on the road against a good McAllen Memorial team, they won 35-10. We talk about Flower Bluff, you talk about offense. They've got Jaden Palacio, the UTRGV committed quarterback, Cameron Dixon, the Vanderbilt commit, Andre Mims, the other receiver who's outstanding. Both of them caught two touchdown passes. This Flower Bluff offense is cooking. They can put up points with the best of them. Defense played well against McAllen Memorial. They haven't always been consistent. They got touched up against Corpus Christi Vets. They got touched up against PSJ North. Really, other than that, those are really the only two real tests that Flower Bluff has had all year. They did not have a very strong non-district schedule, and they also only had two non-district games. So they got in a nine-team district. So the district schedule until the end of the season was very light as well. So I think this Flower Bluff team is good, but I don't know how good they are.
Mm-hmm.
In their two biggest tests, they got beat, and then they probably, PSJ North doesn't miss a late field goal. They probably lose that game as well. So that's my question with Flower Bluff going in. This is a referendum on just how good Flower Bluff is.
Yeah,
we know how good Piper is. Piper has a win over Smithson Valley. They have a win over Davenport, which is both of those wins have aged very well. And last week, they did what they should do against an overmatched fourth-place team from San Antonio. They won 63-0 against Southwest Legacy.
Mm-hmm.
Love Caden Keith, their quarterback. He's come in as a first-year starter, and there's been no drop-off in the Piper offense. They've got two running backs that can make you pay, and they've got my dude, Isaiah Champagne. My Cajun champion.
He is your Cajun king.
He's my Cajun king. He gets it done. The UIW commit is unbelievable. And so I think we are going to get a shootout in this game. I think we're going to – this is probably in the top five of Cut the Breaks games.
Mm-hmm.
But I think at home, superior strength of schedule, the lean goes to Piper in this one. So give me the Piper Warriors to get to Thanksgiving weekend for the second straight season, which is really incredible considering this is only their third varsity season.
Yeah. I think that's a very good pick. I do like Piper a lot in this one. I think that I love this offense, man.
Yeah.
I think their offense, they can beat you in so many different ways. Like there is just kind of like cracking the code there of like what's going to work. But I think that you're right. Like Flower Bluff, like Paluccio is good enough to make the plays to keep them in it. And sure. if you want to get into a shootout, he is good enough, and that offense has been good enough mm-hmm. to do it. So that's an excellent pick. Is that 5A D1 or 5A D2?
D1.
D1. I hate to do two back-to-back games in 5A D2, but I really can't let this cross-regional matchup pass. Matt Stepp, 7 o'clock Friday night at Astound Broadband Stadium in Midland.
Oh, yes.
It's last call for the Sun City as the 10-0 El Paso del Valle Conquistadores.
Who have the best press box spread in Texas.
Ooh.
Take on...
That's a fact. Best press box spread in Texas.
Take on the Lovejoy Leopards in a game that is like a real Mad Lib.
Mm-hmm. Like, I don't have a good read in this game at all.
It's like Todd Dodge going to Midland to play an El Paso team against an elite quarterback.
Mm-hmm.
An undefeated El Paso team. The last El Paso team. Del Valle is carrying the flag for El Paso. As we mentioned in the open, Del Valle is the only El Paso team left.
Mm-hmm.
And, I mean, not just because they're the only El Paso team left, but I think also on the facts, they're the best team in El Paso.
For sure. Like, 100%.
They're 10-0 for a reason. Yeah. They're just the best team in El Paso. Mm-hmm. They have the best player in El Paso.
Yes. Jake Fett is unbelievable.
Jake Fett is a legit Power 5.
He's committed to Arizona State.
Yeah.
Yeah. And he's getting offers from...
Correct.
Yeah, he's...
Even
yeah.
bigger programs. Yeah. We can say it. We're mm-hmm. not... We're not
no offense
Arizona
to Arizona State.
State,
but, you know,
it's fine. Jake Fett's a dude.
Yes,
like, straight up. And their offense is legit.
They're a flamethrower.
They are really good. This is an offense that is scoring 51 points per game.
And in a lot of time, Fett's on the bench at halftime.
Correct.
Yeah.
Their offense has been terrific. If there is anybody who can admire the work that Jake Fett is putting in, perhaps it is Todd Dodge at Lovejoy.
I'm sure he's watched film by me. That kid is really good.
I would be interested. I might call him this week.
Yeah, he'll
I might
tell
call
you.
Him and I'll just say, be like, what do you think of the Del Valle quarterback?
Put him on speakerphone right now.
And I bet he will lavish praise on him.
Yes.
And he knows quarterbacks.
He does.
Lovejoy is a team that if you believe in being battle tested, there is no doubt that they are battle tested.
The district they come from and the non-district slate they play, their two non-district games?
Their two non-district games were Lubbock Cooper, aged well, and Highland Park. And that was a one-score game against Highland Park. Okay? Both one-score games, by the way.
Mm-hmm.
They have been living on the edge, okay? Won a four-point game against Anna, won a three-point game against Melissa, right? They lost a four-point game to Walnut Grove. Took care of Timberview last week.
Mm-hmm.
Offensively, no notes, okay? Dalen McCutcheon, all the dudes they've got. What's the name of the quarterback? Hold on.
I know McCutcheon. He recently decommitted from Florida State and committed to Texas, right?
I can find you that Lovejoy quarterback's name.
I'm pretty sure he's got good numbers.
I am fairly certain he's pretty good. Their quarterback's name is Jacob Janicek.
Mm-hmm.
He's been excellent.
Yeah. He's been excellent. He's been up for player of the week, I think.
Yeah. Dale McCutcheon, Coleman Ray, Zane Kaczynski. They've got playmakers. Their offense is hitting on all cylinders. I will say this. High-powered passing attacks have touched up Lovejoy.
Yes.
Okay? Anna did it. Walnut Grove did it. Melissa did it.
Lubbock Cooper did it in the opener.
Lubbock Cooper did it.
Yeah. Michael Deaver went off.
Okay.
Here's Rob.
I do not think it is... I think in 90-plus percent of cases, if you just want to default to DFW team going to take care of it, you'll be within your rights. I do not think Del Valle has played the kind of athletes that are going to be out there.
No.
But I will also say that if this turns into a shootout, Jake Fett can hang.
Yeah. And they got another guy. The X factor for Del Valle is Manny Fuller.
Yeah.
The Utah commit. He's going to play running back. He's probably going to play some DB as well. He's kind of their X factor. They did not have him in the playoffs last year. Having a healthy Manny Fuller is key for Del Valle.
Here's how I think there's three ways this game goes. By the way, Lovejoy going on the road, long way.
Yeah.
They ain't been out of Metroplex.
No.
Okay? If you are, I think there's three ways this goes. It's Lovejoy big. It's like they run away and, mm-hmm. And they just can't hang the defense, like, and Del Valle can't, and it's 58-20, right? Lovejoy close, where it's like 48-45 or 40, and a kind of typical game that Lovejoy's played against high power teams.
Mm-hmm.
Or Del Valle stuns the state and gets a signature win and knocks off Todd Dodge. I'm going with Lovejoy. I think they've got two outs out of three. But keep an eye on this one. I am really intrigued because from a stylistic perspective, this is the kind of team that has really given Lovejoy trouble.
Sure. No, I agree 100%.
So the question is whether or not Del Valle and their strength of schedule is good enough to hang with a team like this. So there is our area round draft. Step took North Shore, Ridgepoint, Palestine, Westwood, Columbus, Lufkin, College Station, Sunray, Hawley, and San Antonio Piper, Corpus Christi, Flower Bluff. I took Alvarado, Frisco, Panther Creek, Wink, Stratford, Poth, East Bernard, South Oak Cliff, Huntsville, and Lovejoy, El Paso, Del Valle. I didn't even do the game that I'm calling on formerly Valley.
It shows how good this week is. Brenham and Liberty Hill.
Brenham and Liberty Hill.
You're calling it on Valley this week?
Yes, I am.
A lot of good games.
Really good week. Yeah. I mean, duh, it's the playoffs. Second round of the playoffs. Fascinating. It's a great week. Although, do you know what? And people will know this by the time they watch this, but do you know what I made my number one spotlight game on the picks video?
Which one?
Wortham and Mount Enterprise.
Oh, heck yeah.
That's Kagan a fun
Ash.
Game,
yeah,
man.
Kagan Ash, yeah.
Kagan Ash. And then John Ross Black is the quarterback for Wortham. He's been a dog, man. He's been a lot of fun.
It's a great week. Westlake and Brennan, we didn't talk about that. Friendship and Southlake Carroll.
Uh-huh. That's another game in that kind of West meets East or West meets DFW where it's like, they've got the horses to hang. You know what I mean?
Stanford and Panhandle.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
It's a great week of games.
It's a really, really good week. Where are you going this week?
Thursday night, I will be in Melissa to watch the Crum Bobcats taking on the Carthage Bulldogs.
Are you going to get some eyes on the sea?
Yeah. I'm going to watch the sea, see what they can do at a beautiful stadium in Melissa.
So did you see Carthage last week? They went on a 20-play drive.
Yeah. I think Scott Sarach is doing bits in the playoffs now.
So.
Just bored. Like, yeah. Can we do a 20-play drive? Friday night, I'll be in Abilene at Shotwell Stadium for Lubbock Cooper and Prosper Walnut Grove.
Fascinating.
Yeah, should be a fun. I'm interested in this game. First time freshman quarterback in Abilene for the first road trip.
Another cut the brakes game,
yes.
Too. A lot of offense.
Saturday afternoon, I'll be at Abilene Christian for Lubbock Monterey and Denton Ryan. See Judd Thrash and the Monterey Plainsmen take on the Denton Ryan Raiders. And then my nightcap Saturday night at Shotwell Stadium, the Midland Bulldogs against the Crowley Eagles, live on TexanLive.com. So that's my four-pack this week.
Good stuff. I will be on the call with Gary Reasons, the Super Bowl champion. I'll be doing play-by-play on
Crowley's own Gary Reasons.
There you go.
Let's go.
Brenham versus Liberty Hill, a game that could be a track meet.
I think it will be.
I mean, yeah. I think both these teams are going to score. Can Brenham diagnose the slot T is a big question. I know
always the question against Liberty Hill.
I know Jacoby Dixon has been unbelievable. We're recording this on Monday, as you guys know. We have a coach's call with Danny Youngs tomorrow, and I mean, I'm just going to ask him. And this is for my own internal reasons, but like just ask how healthy he is, because I don't know what his status is. If he's 100%, like he might go for 300.
He's a dog.
He's a dog.
He's got that dog in him.
He does. So yeah, that'll be a lot of fun. And then by the way, we'll be remote Tep and Step. And
yeah.
I believe we're going to run it on Wednesday. That's
yeah, next week. Yeah, we're gonna run it Wednesday next week since Wednesday is the Friday of Thanksgiving week. We all agree.
What a weird.
To Jason Garrett. Remember Jason Garrett's like, this is our Thursday,
It's a Thursday.
Wednesday is the Friday next
Wednesday
week.
Wednesday of the Friday.
So next week. If not this week. Next week, Wednesday.
Audio is still.
Yeah, it'll come
on
out.
Monday.
Actually, audio you'll probably get probably a day early. We'll probably put that
Sunday
on Sunday night.
Yeah.
So because we love you.
Treats everywhere.
Let's go over to V&A Moreno to find out. Hey, V&A, what'd you write down?
What did I write down? I wrote down a good amount of things. Cartier Collier has been invited to the Dudes Rock.
Yes, absolutely. Yeah. Are you keeping a RSVP list?
I should.
Yeah. You should.
I should. Adam Schoble's insane.
he is insanely good.
I'm just reading stuff that I the Thriller from the Killer.
There we go.
Okay, so Tidehaven High School is located in a community called El Matón.
El what?
El Matón. M A T O N.
Yeah. And do you know what El Matón means?
El Matón.
Yeah.
Like a, it's not a bull, right?
No. According to Dave Lucio, El Matón in Spanish is like the killer.
Oh, El Matón. Oh, okay. Okay, 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 okay.
Yes.
Because in Spanish, it's Spanish lessons with V&A.
That should be our segment.
Matar. Matar is like to kill.
Okay. Yeah, so the town is called El Maton.
El Maton, okay.
Yeah, and so they call themselves the Thriller from the Killer.
Oh.
And they have it on their 7-on-7 jerseys.
Yeah, it's great.
It's
really?
It's awesome.
Oh, that's dope.
Yeah, yeah.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
Where would the DCTF night fight or fight club be held?
Yeah, I don't know. That's a great question. Let us know in the comments.
Yeah, let us know. Yeah.
Sunray Flex. Sunray's flexing on us.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. And then Cajun King, Mr. Champagne.
Yeah, Isaiah Champagne. He's coming to do Drock Banquet.
Yeah, we got to invite him.
He's coming.
He's bringing the Etouffee Fountain from Silsby.
That's going to do it for us. Thanks for spending a little bit of your day with us. Step, thanks for your courage.
Thank you.
Talk to you next week on Tep and Step.
Bye-bye.